I hope everyone has got an agenda in front of them. Yes. We are busy. The third one is elections of a co-chair. Invitation to the OFW. The submission on traditional courts. I think those are the three items that we've got, unless there's any other item that anyone would like to insert. Are we adopting the agenda? Adopted. Second. Thank you. Then I welcome everyone who is here. This is a meeting of the Joint Monitoring Committee of the Improvement of Quality of Life and Status of Women. We haven't been meeting for quite some time. I'm happy that you managed to come. I know how difficult it is. Some of the members belong to more than one committee. But we tried to convert today. Welcome everyone. I suppose we have the two components here, the NCOP and the National Assembly. We have just heard that other members of the NCOP couldn't come because of other engagements that they are involved in. According to this agenda, the next item is apologies. In front of me, I've got about five apologies, although they are not written. Is this a better? Five apologies. The first one is from Mr. Mabena. Has he got everything? Mr. Mabena has got everything. Apology. Miss Temba. She hasn't sent everything. Apology. Miss what? Lamula. Who's that?
From the DA.
Oh, DA. Miss Sheila Kemera, I think. God help. Please accept apologies for Miss Sheila Kemera. The MPC will not be able to attend the Joint Monitoring Committee on the Improvement of the Quality of Life and Status of Women meeting on Friday, 24th October. No reason. Due to constitutional commitment. That's Sheila. And Ms. I.W. Direko. Mamu Direko. You should be informed that Ms. I.W. Direko will not be able to attend the meeting that is scheduled for today. Yeah, that's it. Accepted? Yeah, apologies. Are they accepted?
Yes.
Yeah. Apologies accepted. Now we come to our third item. The third item, as people know, we have been in this committee that we had a deputy chairperson, and she was redeployed to Orange. To the Free State. I like my orange. to the Free State. And the better part of this year, we didn't have anyone deputizing. And so today, I think we are going to be electing a chairperson. And as a chair, I could be facilitating this, but I need the officials to explain to us how the procedure is done. I'm going to ask the secretary and one law advisor head from the committee. What's the designation? Yes, the manager. They are going to explain to us how this is done and what we are supposed to be doing. You may come and occupy my seat.
Thank you, Chairperson. My name is Albert Mamagula. I'm from the committee section. Although the agenda states that the item is the election of the co-chairperson, in terms of the rules, the committee consists of a chairperson and a deputy chairperson. My understanding is that the committee has got a chairperson, and only the committee does not have a deputy chairperson. So what is supposed to happen is that the committee is then supposed to elect a deputy chairperson and not a co-chairperson in terms of the rules. And that deputy chairperson will have to come from the NCOP component, because the chairperson currently is from the National Assembly component. Thank you, Chairperson.
I do understand that it's not a co-chairperson. But what's the difference between a co-chairperson and a deputy chairperson?
It's really that the deputy chairperson deputizes the chairperson in the chairperson's absence, like any normal deputy chairperson. The committee does not have a co-chairperson. It has a chairperson and a deputy chairperson. So I think in the absence of a chairperson, then the deputy will assume the normal roles of the chairperson.
Yes, I do understand. But how do they differ, the chairperson? The deputy chair and the co-chairperson. Is there a difference between those two people? Because they do the same job.
Okay, that's what I want to know.
I think in terms of the rules, the actual functions are not detailed. I think when you have co-chairpersons, is that the co-chairpersons assume the same status. So I think in terms of taking decisions, then they have to agree. So because they both have the same status, they are co-chairpersons of the committee. But in terms of a deputy, like any normal, in the normal course of events, when you have a deputy, the deputy deputizes the chairperson, and they assume the role of the chairperson when the chairperson requests them to do so, or in the absence of the chairperson.
Mm-hmm. No. The manager has covered me on the issue of the question.
Can some of the,
I don't know whether we do this here. Randy?
Thanks. I think Mr. Mamabola, the last part what he said is the one that is of interest. It's not only in the absence. Because the chairperson, let's say, she feels like she's not well. She could ask a deputy to chair the meeting while she sits in the meeting. So it's not just in the absence, she's not around. So between the chair and the deputy, they will look at that responsibility.
Yes.
Thank you, Chair. I would like to know, Chair, what was the position of the Honourable Mabe? If she was deputy chair or co-chair, according to me, she was a co-chair. And in the WIPS meeting in the NCLP, and also in our announcement, it was that the Honourable Faith Masebuko would be a co-chair. And you see, maybe I should raise this. In the NCLP, we duly have this difficult as the second house being seen inferior. And it's come up several times, that discussion. According to us, it should be a co-chair. Chairperson, thank you.
The joint rules do not actually specify which house should have a chair and which house should have a deputy chair. The rules only state that one member from the one house must be a chair, and the other member from the other house must be a deputy. So it's really a political decision as to from which house the chairperson comes from and from which house the deputy chairperson comes from. So it's not dictated to by the rules that the NCOP should have a deputy chair or a chairperson. The rules provide for a chairperson and a deputy chair. And in order to change that position, the joint rules have got to review the rules and change the status so that they make them the co-chairperson. But until the rules are changed, the committee, the composition of the chairpersonship of the committee remains that it has a chairperson and a deputy chairperson. And my understanding is that Ms. Mabe was also a deputy chair, because the rules are very clear that the committee does not consist of co-chairs, but a chairperson and a deputy chairperson.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. It's primarily from the state law advisors and not necessarily in parliamentary advisor. Chairperson, I just want to concur what the manager has just indicated before the committee, Your Worship. It's in fact exactly as how he explained it. But the difference between the co-chairperson and the chairperson is that they actually hold similar positions and have similar status. So they share the chairing duties equally. And with the deputy and the chairperson, then there is a difference, as indicated. In the absence or the inability of the chairperson to take over the duties, then the deputy must then come in. That is the difference. And as well as on the question, if you look at Joint Rule 130, which talks about this committee specifically, they are only indicating that there should be a chairperson and a deputy chairperson. And as indicated already, it's not specific as to which house should appoint the deputy and which house should appoint the chairperson. It depends when the process is engaged on. Thank you, Chairperson.
Good morning, honorable members. My name is Ayanda Boss. I'm the secretary of this committee. I'll be chairing this process of electing the deputy secretary of this committee. Sorry. the deputy chairperson of this committee. I therefore call upon the nomination for deputy chairperson. Honorable Ms.
Thank you. From the NCOP side, I'm Honorable Injit. I'd like to nominate the Honorable Faith Masivuku as for the deputy chair position.
Is there any seconder for that nomination?
I'm Ntungamalo. I'm seconding the nomination of the deputy chairperson, Faith Masivuku. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Do we have any nomination for this position of deputy chairperson? In the absence of none, I therefore say that Ms. Honorable Faith Masivuku is the deputy chairperson of the NCO on improvement of quality of life and status of women. Thank you. Honorable Masibuko, can you please come forward?
Sorry, Chairperson. Are we not supposed to vote so that it's recorded that we voted?
Thank you, Chairperson. In the absence of no further nominations, it's clear that everyone agrees, so there is no need for voting. Thank you, Chair.
An invitation, I think it has been sent to our members. We have an invitation from the minister in the presidency of a invitation to a high-level national gender machinery meeting scheduled for the 25th and 26th October 2008. I don't know. whether the members that are here have got that invitation. Thank you, yeah. Have you got the invitation? No, what we wanted to say here is that if you look at the agenda, I mean the program, first of all, can we have people to indicate whether they are going there? According to you, who's going? What was your demand? How many are there? The chairman.
Sorry, I was going to attend, but as I indicated yesterday, that it's funeral, Agamalu no one is tomorrow, so I have to go there. I might join you on Sunday.
Okay. And you said it's Deputy Chair of those are conference. How many are there?
Ten.
You see, I'm interested to know how many people are going, because we struggled to get Parliament to pay for us. We don't have any funds. Our funds were moved over to other committees that had legislation. It was agreed in Parliament. It happened to be most of the committees. Now, we requested Parliament to assist us in terms of transport, accommodation, and facilities. At first, we started by talking about 6 people because people were reluctant. Now, yesterday, the number increased. And on the paper, it's written 9. It's chief it has written 9. How many are there? How is it written? Does it say the chief whip approves for NA or for the class?
It's written 9 members from NA. That's how the anything else in the text.
So from the NCOP, what happened? Because it has never happened that we have 2 applications. We have an application that is approved by the 2 houses, but it's for 1 committee. Then the wedding might have been written in another manner. What I know of faith, you know, is that the chief whip with authorizing of the other house. And chiefly, it is meant for this committee. it can't be, we wait for the other house to authorize it, the other one to authorize it. I didn't give you that.
Thank you, Chair. It happens like that, Chair. We need to have their authorization, both houses. We need to have an authorization from the NA. We need to have an authorization from the NCOP. It's either it starts from the NCOP or it starts with the NA. It depends on the availability of the authorizers, who is available at that time.
No,
but both of them, they sign.
Yeah. I want to correct that. In our mind, we mustn't think that's the nine. In the back of our mind, we had nine for the whole committee. You see? Now, that's where it's going to be problematic, because we said how many of the committee, this is one joint committee, how many of them are going, we said nine, including the NCOP people.
It's fine,
ma.
It doesn't have a problem. As long as it's a joint.
Exactly. Thanks. That's what I mean. Yes, authorization, it should be from the two houses, but the number is for the whole committee.
The approved number, it's nine, but it depends what is the recommendation from the NCOP. We are still waiting for the recommendations from the NCOP. It's the recommendation of the Chief Whip of the National Assembly.
Yeah.
That's at 9.
That's 9.
Yes.
Now, with the recommendation from the NCOP, amongst the 9 people we are talking about, these names, are they all from National Assembly?
No,
ma'am.
Two from NCOP.
Already?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't think there will be anything that differs so much. I don't think so. So, we just rally around this 9. So that you think I've been thinking about in the 10-9 works in the Zanabanya. I think we are fine. We can confess over to 9 people are at home. Now, yesterday, there were people who indicated that Bona, they can use their own tickets. Like myself, number one.
Thank you, Chairperson. Yes, you are counting 9 people. If I join you on Sunday, will I still be accommodated or not necessarily accommodation to put up in Pretoria, but in the meeting itself?
Yes, we'll be flexible in that. I think when they arrange, they will be there. Is there anyone on the authority ticket to get lucky?
I think it's a question. I think I'll be using my own ticket.
And it's myself, no more do. Faith? And Faith already. Mangele?
I know. Oh,
sorry.
I don't know.
Pardon? Have you signed it? Babu, can we are connected. I'll come to you, really. That is, and that can be fixed, Yamatiki. Yes. Yes. Sisumla, we are more. But not that we will be. Is there a problem? Okay. Now that is fine. You know, we shouldn't be doing this here. We are doing it because it's the administration. Being a So we have agreed on the ticket and what is covered so that it should be clear. One time I had a hectic number. When the members arrived, Mr. Weed stay, didn't have the accommodation, what is covered by Parliament to assist us? Is it accommodation?
Can I just as you know, ma'am, that we got this information very late yesterday that the secretary, the deputy secretary in principle approved the trip. We are still awaiting for his signature because as administrators we need to get his authorization in writing. Yes. But if he agreed that he's going to pay, then the accommodation ground travel is going to be paid. Yes.
So what we should do, Madam Pumla, is that we should indicate, I think the most important thing, even for us, those who have our own tickets, is transport that is going to fetch us from OR to Pretoria. And those people who are coming back on Sunday also must be taken to be taken back to. That's how it happens. So we agree on that. Yesterday, I was called for a bunch of the accounts of Zabo, yes, you were in Parliament. Usually, she's born in the same game, this account is in Nancy. They would do it when they have agreed. Yeah. Yes, please.
Thank you, Chairperson. She's talking about ground travel. Does it mean that for me, driving from home to Victoria and to Victoria back home, can I claim for that?
Yes, you can.
Okay. I think we are fixed now. Eh? And let us read the details. Affecting Ireland?
Yes.
Can you read the details for us?
The invitation reads as thus, my first maiden speech. Invitation to high level national gender machinery meeting scheduled for the 25th to the 26th October. As the minister, dear comrade, as the minister in the presidency, I am mandated to lead on the issue of national policy framework for gender equality and women's empowerment, which mandates the Office on the Status of Women, which is the OSW in the presidency, to hold at least one NGM session annually. The Office on the Status of Women is planning an NGM meeting on the 25th to the 26th October, which includes a series of high-level roundtable stroke panel discussion focusing on 1. Poverty alleviation and its gendered impact, 2. Institution building for women's empowerment and gender equality, the care economy and women's paid and unpaid work. In addition, the meeting will look at future work of the National Gender Machinery, adopt any resolution and arrive at agreed conclusions. As such, this meeting will be preceded on the afternoon of the 24th by a joint national GFP stroke provincial OSW coordinators meeting as per the attached program. The meeting details are the 25th at Southern Sun, Beatrix Street, Pretoria from 8 to 5 p.m. It is critical that this invitation is extended to all members of the committee to participate in these meetings given the important issues that will be discussed. Should you have any queries, please be free to contact the OSW, Ms. Ranji. There's the email address number, and best regards, Dr. Manto Shabalala Msima, Minister in the Presidency. Of course, there is an attached program for the day of day one, which is the 25th tomorrow. It will start at 8, up to 8:30, it will be registration and tea, and then the minister will officially open at 9 o'clock, and then high-level panel discussion on poverty alleviation and gender impact. The facilitator will be the Commissioner of Gender Equality. I think you note that there will be a presidential working group on women's effort addressed by Ms. Robe Gloria. Using technology as an empowerment tool, it will be Minister Ivy Matsipa Kasaburi, targeting poverty alleviation for rural women, Minister Kengwane, and the anti-poverty strategy by Dr. Vusi Kumede. There will be refreshments, and then there will be development of resolution and plan of action. And after lunch, focus will be on building for gender equality and women empowerment, and it will be facilitated by our chair, Umama Umestore Murutua, and the speakers there will be our National Speaker of Parliament, Umama Gwendolyn Mahlangu, MEC for Education, Umama Enje Motsega, Umama Ntombazana Botha, the Deputy Minister of Arts and Culture, Nonomboni Sokasa, the Chair of the CGE. And then, of course, refreshments again, and then report backs on national, regional, and international. It will be the IPSA Women's Forum, Ms. Ruby Max, SADC Protocol on Gender, Ms. Bangiseni Chivani, and AU Gender Protocol, Ms. Ranji. And then day two, which is the 26th, the focus there will be on my document is not yet. But it will be facilitated by Dr. Jean Swanson Jacobs, the Minister of Deputy Minister of Social Development. There'll be SAWIT, UNIFEM, Men as Partners. I suspect day two will be focusing on the care economy. Will be calling from the gender links. It's not clear yet. The issue of paid and unpaid work for women, the care economy part of it. The SAWIT, the UNIFEM, there's men as partners, and there'll be development of resolution and a plan of action and future working methods. There will be a report back on national, regional, and international on 16 days of activism by Deputy Minister Nomakyala Hangane, Isidro report, and Beijing Plus 15. Ms. Lanwani, Shaisi, and Gender Mainstreaming Training by IPALAMA, and it is anticipated that the meeting will come to an end at 14 hours on Sunday.
That's it. Any comments on the agenda? There's nothing we can do. It has been done somewhere else. She knows that information.
But Chair, just to assist members, I'm sure members, as the speaker, will be presenting on, especially on building gender equality and women empowerment. I'm sure because some of the challenges here will be on structures that need to be put in place. In relation to affirming women. Time and again, here, there's no opposition, it's only members of the ANC. Sorry, staff, you'll pretend as if you didn't hear me. I think we've been talking about the issue of a woman's ministry. I'm sure it's one of the issues that we can start discussing, because the OSW, it has been discovered that as much as it is a viable tool in assisting empowerment of women, but we need structure that will really be there for women. Consistently, if you looked at the Youth League, it has been fighting for a youth commission, and they're even changing it to youth development agency now. So consistently on the agenda, they've been talking about issues of youth structures. So I'm sure as women, something that you can start talking loudly and making noise around it, so that then such structures, they start looking at how do we go about making sure that they basically exist? That was just a soundbite, Chair, just to make members to also think fast and say these are the proposals that we want. Because there is an item on development of resolution and plan of action. We can put it there so that then they start planning around it and start even budgeting for that ministry, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you. They said they are going to invite a lot of NGO, the Women's Committee, Zambia, Kalibone, Kalama, so that is not one of them. Is that fine? SBM Kama, so this is us, because they also said I must send them a list of other committees of women. They want to have, you know, many people from the ground as much as they can.
My chairperson, I'm a bit concerned about the issue of the women's ministry. I will tell you what, because I'm sure the reason why the process is taking so slow is that we're coming up that there should be a women's ministry. I want to suggest that if the members of parliament are going to suggest the issue of the women's ministry, they should come clear with a proposal. Because what happens about this issue of the women's ministry is always thrown in there that there is a need for a women's ministry. I think a thorough study should be done, and one of the members should introduce the topic and with a clear mandate for the women's ministry. Because you see, the reason is that we always come to these meetings and say there's a need for a women's ministry. And no one comes up with a clear mandate what the women's ministry is supposed to be doing. So I want to suggest, if Parliament is going to introduce that, please, there should be someone that is going to look at the documents that are already there and come up with that proposal. Especially the SAWID documents, I think they help a lot in that particular proposal. Thank you.
Thank you. You know, when I look at this program, I don't see that I can take it out. The other thing is that on the initiative, this human forum, there are things that the fire gate, I think people have got a document. I wanted to talk about this document. This is a report from the last Easter meeting in India last week. A report that was submitted to the president. People can go through a not going to read it so that they acclimatize themselves with what came out of there. Seemingly, this thing of the women's needs. Yes, we discussed it with one of our committees, that is the Now we have a minister in the cabinet that is supposed to be do most of the things, OSW, all other things, mainstreaming and all that. But the problem is that it wasn't functioning. And hence now we said, do you want a woman's ministry to do what? I think we should, by now, we should know what we need, because you know, not as fully anymore. There are ideas that are coming up also, which must be in the deputy president's office. All right. Yes. There are ideas that are coming up, which, you know, maybe we can say to Nandira Gandhi, what do we want it for? If we are talking about empowerment, economic empowerment of women. What are we talking about? Because right now we have got a problem with the budget, with the gender budget. So these are some of the things we must be talking about when we talk about the women. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
Sorry, sir, to prolong the discussion, but I'm sure we've got researchers. For the committee, and they can actually even be able to go to whether websites or just get studies from other countries, how the ministry functions. And so that then when we interrelate to the South African situation, we can basically see how it can work. On issue of gender mainstreaming, of course we've agreed it's elsewhere actually vocal that there should be gender mainstreaming, so that each and every department focuses on gender mainstreaming. But remember here we're talking about gender mainstreaming. So that means it's about men and women. And we say now we need to focus on ensuring that women are getting a better deal as compared to always us thinking about, sorry, a member Randy, thinking about men also. Whether we like it or not, women will always be at the receiving end when it comes to issues of economy and poverty trapped. But as we talk about gender mainstreaming, of course, it's well and good. South Africa, we're told we're doing good, but if focus yet. And as you rightly put it, Chairperson, that the Minister in the Office of the President is busy with the OSW, she's busy with the Youth Commission, she's busy with the Office on the Children, Office of the Disabled, many other things. That is why even all these departments, when they call them, now I had the privilege of sitting in the committee of JMC for Children, and you find even the directors that are there, they can't even request a report from any other department. They ask them, who are you? Who wants that report? So you find the minister is not even, it's not even easy for the minister to even properly prepare a report that says, this is what departments are doing in relation to women. It's just clouded under gender, and it's never separated to say exactly what it is that we're doing in relation to women. But as I said, Chairperson, we've got researchers here. They can go into any systems. If really we are serious in establishing these structures, we can't be having a JMC on women, and yet we've got a gender mainstreaming in government. How do you measure? How do you put in benchmarks that ensure that issues of women are really taken care of? So let researchers assist us. I'm sure we'll be back here in Parliament that week of the 17th. We can still have a mini-yana session amongst ourselves, really look at it, so that then if we make proposals to the governing council or these many political offices that exist here, we can be able to say we are concretely sure this is the system that they can look at how feasible it is in relation to South Africa.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, very good, Chairperson. I understand what Comrade Faith is saying, but Ukiki has raised something very important to say we must start to analyze what that particular minister will be doing. Now, starting from the ANC policy conference in Galaga Estate, we discussed the issue of the women ministry. But in addition to what Ukiki is saying, looking at all those documents, the power documents and so forth, let's agree that we ask two or three women from here, together with the minister in the presidency, to then start and put down what this ministry will be doing. I would suggest that the two chairpersons and the minister in the office of the presidency should then sit down and say, this is what we want this minister to be doing. Then at least there'll be a way forward, together with the researchers, of course. And all, we've got legal people here amongst us. Ask for their assistance as well. Look at the constitution and look at the policies of the ANC and say, this is the way that we want to take.
Thank you, Chairperson. May I put a proposal? Maybe Chairperson, don't you think we can have maybe a 2-day workshop with Abu City in the Bakana Bolombo News? Maybe let's come together and discuss thoroughly about this. Maybe we can come up with something, you know, a tangible response, you know, which if maybe this is another proposal of the women minister, we understand the point of the yin or seven, because
I remember something as an example of Maskumangi Women's Ministry when you meet him. Visited another country, that's one of our ministers, I'm a defense ministry, a political minister, the defense ministry, a housing ministry, you know. I think we need a ministry, a minister of defense. There must be a ministry of defense. As women, we need a women ministry. Especially in the Zamakoskas. We need a ministry in the Zamantana But we need the workshop. And discuss thoroughly to the world to understand it. If you are a ministry, you know what I'm saying. Thank you, Shepherd.
Joy,
Chairperson, I just wanted to say that we have been working, as you know, for much of this year on looking at international models, looking at what exists on the continent in terms of institutional mechanisms for promoting gender equity. And we've tried to document, and in consultation with the existing structures, the OSW and the CGE, what has worked well about the current machinery and what has not worked well, what are the problems, what needs to be improved. So if we do have that workshop, we could make, it's still in the process of being finalized, but we could get that done and have that available as supporting documentation for that workshop.
Somebody else? Thank you, Jefferson. I think we all agree on the issue of the women's needs. But my concern is that tomorrow there's a proposal that we should not forget the issue of the women's needs before we get that meeting. And I think as a member of parliament, we should give the guidance. Therefore, you cannot propose at a meeting as a member of parliament that there should be a meeting because we never unpack. What this means. I mean, it's almost the end of the term. And I think by now we should have information that, yes, as women in South Africa, we want a woman's ministry. But what is that woman's ministry going to do? Because you must remember, tomorrow we are going to get a resistance, I'm sure, in the meeting. And I think going there prepared, because at least you want this woman's ministry to do 1, 2, 3, 4. At least unpack what is it there. We cannot just go there and say we want a women's ministry. But the people that are going to raise that tomorrow, they should have at least enough, if you could, and no, not a long, just a one pager, so that they're able to say, a women's ministry should assist the women in South Africa to do 1, 2, 3, 4. Otherwise, we cannot, every time, in the ANC policy, we said we want the women's ministry. The ANC did not argue with us. They agreed, and it was taken to the conference. And still in the conference, we said, why the women's ministry? We never unpacked it, that's until today. Which we're supposed to unpack, but what is this women's ministry going to do? So I would like that assistance, so that at least the members of parliament are able to give the guidance about what do we want this women's ministry to do.
Yes.
Yeah,
I think we have at least longer. Those are some of the things. Now, what the other thing I'm wondering about the committee, our approach as this committee, we must also look at our mandate in that meeting of tomorrow as a committee, that is a parliament committee, and our responsibility is to do oversight over all those structures. Yes, you're quite right to say you cannot come there and say to put our women's ministry. That's why they need for instance, the progressive women's movement, civil society, they are going to stay there and do their part. But for us as Parliament, we are the people who are doing oversight and we should be monitored. I think that is how they view us, all of those people. So we should be giving guidance as well. So I think I want to bring it back to this topic. Because I think the reason why Comrade Manti has been convicted is precisely because of the relationship of the and of strengthening the national gender. One of the things also is that we need the human ministry and we don't know what animal are we talking about. I think that's why it's in Samantha. The first topic to say is a high level panel discussing on poverty, alleviation, and gender impact. Those are some of the things that came out when we were given that Tunisian example, the how do they treat the poverty board. I think these are some of the things that are going to come out and it's facilitated by no more resources. Is that right? Yes. And Mr. Robert is in this presidential working group. They already have been working on this. Some of the community. I think we are going to get ideas that are going to be coming up in and if we are going to, we must look at how feasible they are. So we are going to see that as a committee parliament that we want to we are not stopping people to give meetings on what we think we need, but also guard against the fact that we think, you know, we are not just the partners, but we are a monitoring committee for parliament. We must be seen as a monitoring committee who understands the policy. And I think the other one is for gender equality and women. We are the facilitators in the education. In that, we have our education. I think it's going to give an institutional perspective on the culture, I think it will come out of all this. I think that what Uma has tried to do is let us get the direction of what we need exactly. And in a poverty situation, how will you do it? Because the other thing that you have in touch, you get a budget. Which should also come out of this. And I think we are able to do this. Can you help us
if you want to do that? Sorry, would you, I can do something this afternoon, would you give it to who are the three members that we need to get it to? Or do we just make one and get it to you?
No, what is going from us? Sorry, I can tell you that.
I think we are speaking one language here.
the three people or four people that I talked about, the paper that she's going to produce, after that, the three people have collected some information and say, you put that together. You then say, these are the documents that we're having in front of us. Let's have a workshop to talk about what is in this paper so that we all agree what kind of a ministry do we want. But we will be guided by what will come out of your meeting with the minister and the papers that they will be developing. So we're speaking one language. And it's them that we say, Jengobukiki Asho, that this is what we want. We put that down, and then we can start presenting that. That is one language. We are saying one thing, but differently.
Yes.
No, thank you. I was suddenly relaxing and nearly fell asleep until you called my name. No, I hear what the man truly says, and that's correct. It's a combination of things that we need to do. But I'm asking myself the question, what happens to such ministry? Has been established. Of course, we have so many bills coming through, and we check it legally and say, do we really check those bills? Is it strengthening the issue of gender, or is it undermining it? Are we only looking at it whether it's technically and politically and legally correct? Shouldn't we have somebody, or more than one person, that somehow indicates that no bill will be submitted unless it's been clear that it does not undermine our gender approach? Because you could have a minister focusing on women. I'm talking about the piece of legislation, whether it's from communications, whether it's correctional services, it must go through a system that clears that it does not undermine or weaken our fight, but rather strengthen it. So it's more than, my view is more than that's what we have to do. There's a lot of work outside us that we won't necessarily be able to capture. No. What I'm saying, some of the things that I'm writing now, we should maybe throw in the pot that Maan Tulu was referring to when we do that and say, this is what we want. But other than that, there's things outside that, and maybe we have to pull in other committees as well. Maybe the Justice Committee says, before you do certain things, all of that. Is this bill what you're doing undermining us or not? And how do we strengthen it from a gender perspective? It might not even be in the initial amendments.
Randy, I will answer you the same thing as you say similar to the brain assistant, very out. We had a wonderful program here, that's where we needed to call all churches. We had agreed. Because seemingly people don't know what our mandate is in this committee. And we thought we were going to do precisely what you're talking about. And the committee section knows we need this person of specialties on gender. Yes, so that they can flag out each and every law that we're dealing with in Parliament. Where that's the very thing that we're talking about. But we are talking and it is never done. And until that is done, because we cannot cover this, hence we agreed here, as members of this committee, that really we can do is that each and everyone in their other committees, whatever bill they're dealing with, they should be sensitive to the fact that we are also in this committee and look at the gender perspective. That is another thing. That is the mandate of this committee that hasn't been, that hasn't been addressed. But the workshop that we are talking about, I just don't want to deny the fact that we need to. What are we workshopping ourselves on? Workshopping who? Us. Because I thought if we come together as National Gender Machinery, that is the workshop that we are going to. The very one that we are going to. Yes. That is the workshop that we are going to. And out of that, Jomo Seitan Chilwa, we are going to have the end result of this. These are the things we are going to be looking at,
what is our role as so as to monitor this time, which is how are they implemented? That's our role. If we have a workshop whereby we are going to sit down and say we are looking at what kind of a ministry do we want, is it for us to do this? This committee?
Yes. Thank you, Chairperson.
Was this document, you know, and that document as the other one, to come and unpack your own presentation as the Uki Kebesha, something in some way, this document is not designed, and unpack this thing, people understand the problem. Part of education. We had this workshop, older some because all of the chairpersons of the committees, you remember? But they never attended. And it was a very good workshop that everybody, all the departments, they represented, but they were not there. It was only us. But the document actually is on us. That document can help us, you know, if we unpack the song case, you know. If we have this document, maybe I'm going to understand. But if we are together in a workshop, your contribution can make me understand what is this.
Yes. Hey, I don't know. I think I'm starting to be confused now. I was thinking that that one pager is going to work tomorrow.
Yes.
And tomorrow, all this is going to be unpacked. We have these people, these 3 months or two or three or four people, together with the one pager, to go tomorrow and unpack this minister, what we need, or what we thought this thing is going to do. Tomorrow.
No, come on.
Tomorrow we need something that will assist members from that one page that one thing you are talking about. But who would be talking about a workshop that we can have? So as to have a document now that is going to be done by Joy and Ben, so that you can sit around. Maybe I think we will be talking about other committees also, so that also yes. Now I am saying tomorrow.
That's a bit.
Wait a minute.
I just want to be clear, though.
No, wait. I'm going to be clear. I'm going to be clear. Tomorrow, we are going to this round table. We are going to get a lot of things coming out of that. That is also going to assist the hair in putting together the document. This is the beginning tomorrow, that's what I'm trying to say. So that out of tomorrow we can have that document that we now have something to talk about. This is like all of that. Am I clear? Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. I thought this document that she is going to do is for tomorrow. That means she's going to do two documents.
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah. Tomorrow she's
okay.
Just doing a one pager for us.
Okay.
To assist us because you can imagine which this is JMC, and as long as that thing as they go on, we are waiting on two people who are going to. We can't. Everybody must participate. Yeah, wherever you see, where you see that, you know, here I must come in as a committee parliament, and this is my role. You participate, and the end result, when we have everything system, so the one to China, the other document will also, you know, enhance your organization that we hear this stuff. Am I quite clear? Yeah. So that we go on with our workshop team. Maybe in that workshop we can call the partners and the stakeholders into. Yeah, the people that we think we are working with, the people that SAP and all the other people, so that we are going we are on task. On how we think we should be dealing with it. That is our fear. And now, my fear is that maybe I went wrong, but we are going outside. Maybe these are the things we should recommend. You see, yesterday in our caucus, these are the things that each and every chairperson must sit down with their researchers and everybody and come up with a program. Maybe Ubuti, a transition must be smooth. The people who are going to be coming in must continue from where we left. But tomorrow, I'm definitely sure it's going to be eye-opening to us, Ubuti, what do we need. But our participation is very important. Hence, we say Ujoy can put together quickly something for us. Is that clear?
Yes,
ma'am. All right. Have you got this? You must go through this so that not three of them that we eat. Now we've got Siayeka, Lesia, Tulaguyo, the invitation and everything. Now there is number five, Faith. I think you were there and you left when we were in across the road. We're talking about the traditional cost. You had to leave. And we had recommendations that we want to make established. And you are going to give it to bring to us. Now we have the submission. Our researcher has worked on it. We worked on it according to the proposals that we made. This is the document we are talking about. Number five. This submission is just for us to maybe adopt this. Can I read this? Okay. This is a submission in terms of what is proposed. This submission by the Joint Monitoring Committee on the Improvement of Quality of Life and Status of Women to the Portfolio Committee on Justice and Constitutional Development on the Traditional Court Bill. This is the introduction. The Joint Monitoring Committee on the Improvement of Quality of Life and Status of Women, henceforth called the JMC, has an exclusive and purposive focus on women and their rights, empowerment, development and inclusion at all spheres of decision making. It is required to monitor and evaluate progress with regard to the improvement of the quality of life and status of women in South Africa. That's our mandate even tomorrow. The JMC recognizes that the traditional court bill B15 of 2008 is aimed at promoting social cohesion, speedier and more cost-effective access to justice and to preserve traditions that promote nation building. Although the JMC comprehends the aims and objectives of the traditional court bill, it also recognizes that there are serious shortcomings and gendered implications that serve to impede the delivery of fair justice to women in particular. Hello, Miss. Hello? I'm calling. The JMC acknowledges the important role that culture plays in the lives of the citizens of this country, particularly those in rural communities. Traditional culture plays an important part in the lives of more than 22 million South Africans who live within traditional authority boundaries, and the JMC accepts that culture shapes and drives the community and should therefore be respected and valued. That was Mantuli's input, if I remember. Yes. It should, however, be noted that patriarchy is an established feature of traditional customary law within the South African context, and that to some extent culture and cultural expectations across different social groupings has tended to create impediments to the promotion of women's rights. However, culture does not remain static. As time passes and value and belief systems adapt and transform, cultural systems likewise are fluid and shift to accommodate changes in collective thinking. Within this context, it is therefore important that a bill that proposes to create a legislative framework based on historical, traditional systems and values needs to take into account the gender implications of certain traditional values and practices, and in particular needs to be very carefully scrutinized in terms of its potential impact on women. The Constitution in the Bill of Rights enshrines the right to gender equality, yes, and as the supreme law in the country, it takes precedence over all other legislation. The traditional court bill in its current form does not make mention of gender equality per se, but rather refers to more general principles of human dignity and human rights. We all know that. Yes? It does indicate that as part of its guiding principle that is committed to non-racialism and non-sexism, as well as to access to justice for all persons. There is, however, no further details as to the implementation of specific measures to achieve and maintain these principles. Before the bill is passed, it must therefore achieve a balance between the respect of customary law and upholding of constitutional rights as set out in the Bill of Rights. In light of its function and responsibility, the JMC herewith raises its concerns in relation to the bill, particularly those pertaining to its potential impact on women and the manner in which it serves to entrench the press before yet and even social relations between men and women. The JMC has reviewed the bill and has highlighted various areas of concern relating to the impact the bill will have on women, and to this end is making a submission to the portfolio. These are our gender concerns. Clause 4 of the bill makes provision for the designation and training of a senior traditional leader as a presiding officer of the traditional court for the area of jurisdiction. This means that the role of presiding officer is restricted to a traditional leader of a specific community who exercises authority over a number of headmen and headwomen in accordance with customary law, or within whose area of jurisdiction a number of headmen or women exercise authority. The bill indicates that in the absence of a senior traditional leader or designated king or queen, a headman or headwoman may be appointed in the position of presiding officer, although this clause does not make provision for the appointment of women. We have to see our man, it is known that the majority of traditional leaders are men, thus creating a disjuncture between the proviso and the applicable appointment of women to these positions of power. Clause 9 of the bill states that the presiding officer must ensure that women are afforded full and equal participation in proceedings, but does not indicate how this will be achieved. Given that the system is rooted in patriarchal traditions, the bill would need to include provisions to indicate how the representation of women in decision-making capacities in traditional courts will be ensured. In addition, the bill would need to specify the critical importance of treating women involved in any kind of litigation in an equal manner to men, and that gender not be used any way to discriminate against women in assessing the medical cases brought before the court. In addition, the bill gives no indication of any legislative monitoring tool to ensure women's equal participation. It further provides that a party to proceedings before a traditional court may be represented by his or her wife or husband, family member, neighbor, or member of the committee in accordance with customary law and custom. The last part of the clause, however, still implies that there are restrictions in the party, and that parties are bound by customary law and custom as to who may represent them. This poses a particular challenge for women who have traditionally not been allowed to participate in the proceedings of the court. The judge also notes that in 2003, the South African Law Commission produced a report and draft bill after consultation with rural communities, and in particular with rural women, on what shape customary costs to take in post-apartheid South Africa. The commission recommended that the representation of women in these courts houses be guaranteed by law. This recommendation has not been included in the bill. I think it was Lulu, the chairperson. The JMT has also concerns around the position of rural women having to appear in these courts, particularly whether they will indeed receive fair and equal treatment. As stated by a member of parliament during the hearing held by the Portfolio Committee on Justice, in our culture, women don't go to these courts. And when one does go, she sleeps in isolation with her head down to show respect. So how can women go to these courts, particularly if they were not involved in the drafting of the bill? How will these biases be prevented? The court will also be designated to hear cases on domestic violence, raising the question as to whether presiding officers and other court staff will have a complete and working understanding of domestic violence legislation so as to adequately address these issues in keeping with the Constitution and have the necessary sensitivity and requisite gender sensitivity training for dealing with matters of this nature. Say 4.2b of the guiding principle, which refers to the systemic discrimination and inequalities on the basis of gender, age, race, which exists as a result of past colonialism and apartheid. No other mention is made of gender or gender equality. The bill in its current form is not gender sensitive and particularly does not make remarks on this information. General consent, indeed. The bill has been drafted in consultation with traditional leaders, but opinions, feelings, or rural communities have not been captured anyway. The memorandum on the object of the traditional court bill indicates that the Department of Justice and Constitutional Development has consulted with the National House of Traditional Leaders, as well as with the South African Local Government Association, as well as with the provincial arms of these organizations. No committee civil consultation is indicated. What is particularly concerning is that the process to date has not included adequate consultation with women, particularly rural women whose lives will be impacted upon by the bill, considering that the bill will have a direct effect on the millions of South Africans in rural community participation in the process is vital. Gender sensitive consultation, which includes focus group sessions with women only, could have constituted a critical part of the process. If the bill is promulgated in this current form, more than 22 million South Africans who live in rural areas outside municipal boundaries will find themselves bound by the authority of traditional leaders who have been appointed by the Minister of Justice without any consultation with other committee leaders. In addition, members of these committees will not have the choice of opting out of the traditional court process or seeking alternative legal representation. This limitation may prove to be particularly problematic for women who might feel that they will not be treated fairly by this court and who would prefer taking their case to a civil court. There may be also be varied understanding of interpretations of customary law, which does not create uniformity throughout the process. Clause 12 of the bill indicates that the order of a traditional court is final, save for a party wishing to appeal the order or take the case forward to procedural review. Taking into consideration that clause 10 outlines specific orders that the traditional court may hand down, the finality of clause 12 can be regarded as an infringement on the right. You know, I'm worried that we are reading these clauses. We don't have it in our hands. Can we have it attached to this?
Okay.
Yeah, so that when people, whenever we are called in by this committee, we are able to refer to it. On the right of persons in committee governed by traditional customary law, this relates specifically to clause 10b, which indicates that both monetary terms and possessions, in particular livestock, may be used in the settlement of fines, damages, or compensation. Considering that many rural communities are indigent and also depend on livestock and the life of their lives, such a final order impacts not only on the parties concerned but also on their families. Clause 10i further states that the court can make an order depriving the concerned parties of the benefits that they would normally accrue in terms of customary law. This order also has implications for families of the parties involved in that. Any loss of benefits also results in a loss of money and children in a family. This also has gender implications for female-headed households. Furthermore, 10.1 indicates that the traditional court may also, within the provisions of the bill, make any other order that it deems appropriate, thus giving the court, and in fact its presiding officer, liberty to decide on ruling and against parties and does not enforce consent. It's terrible. Section 174.1 of the Constitution states that any appropriately qualified woman or man who is a fit and proper person may be appointed a judicial officer. However, whether it is applicable to the presiding officers in traditional court who has no training in the legal arena is not clear. Mention is made of the provision of training for designated leaders. There is no indication in the bill of what kind of training will be provided. And if the training provided will be sufficient to equip the leaders with the necessary skills and sensitivity needed for some of the cases brought before them. There is seemingly also no uniformity in the staffing structure of the court, as clause 17 states that the minister may, depending on the resources available at the local magistrate court, assign officers to assist the traditional court. The traditional court bill also has the potential to divide communities as it reiterates ethnic differences through the enforcement of historically colonial and apartheid boundaries, which are used as jurisdiction boundaries. It also impacts on power relations in rural areas, as there is no recognition of other dispute resolution mechanisms like village councils, clan meetings, development forums, and civic organizations. Our recommendations are this. It is critical that the traditional court bill must achieve a balance between the respect for customary law and the upholding of constitutional rights as set out in the Bill of Rights. It is therefore recommended that all processes related to the promulgation of the bill be halted completely until there has been proper consultation with women, particularly those from rural areas, as well as the support of these. These are all the recommendations. Clause 4, designation and training of traditional leaders. Clause 9, procedure of traditional court. Clause 10, sanction and orders that may be given by traditional court. Clause 12, order of traditional court final. Clause 17, assignment of officers to assist traditional court. That is it. And it says more opportunities to be created for women and women organizations to give input into the proposed legislation. This will directly affect them. The JMCB represented on the task team established to look at the legislation. Yes, ma'am. What have we forgotten?
No, Chairperson, thank you very much. I haven't forgotten anything according to what we discussed. But looking at our recommendations, we say it is critical that the traditional court bill must achieve a balance between the respect for customary law and the upholding of constitutional rights as set out in the Bill of Rights. Now, I would have loved us to add that in this court, maybe at the end, illegal representation should be allowed. Like, for instance, a person having a lawyer with her when going to this court, because in most of these courts, you find that it's ordinary men from the cities. Abanye basuka nasebare and go to these courts. So illegal representation should be allowed, so that particular person can be able to look at the balance between the customary and the constitutional rights of women in particular.
That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Any
amendment?
Chair, where do we cover the question about OPSA? In terms of this traditional court, well, if somebody wants to take them to that court, the person feels I'm not going to get a good hearing here. Would that person have the right to say, if you want to take me to court, take me to, you know, to our normal court? Or is it, you stuck, you live in that area, you'll only go to the traditional court?
Yeah, I think it is said somewhere that that's why the women opt for going to the other court, because of discrimination.
No, if it's covered, then I'm happy about it.
Yes.
Under clause 9, one of the provisions that was recommended is, look at the second bullet there, that a provision be included to allow parties, and in particular women, in certain cases to choose to pursue civil proceedings rather than customary proceedings, because there's no provision as such made in the bill so that people can opt out of that and choose civil proceedings. So we recommend that the provision be included, that people do have the choice to up civil proceedings rather than the customary proceedings.
Can I just then add that we should consider what Ma truly said, that whenever a woman goes to court, that legal representation is offered to her.
Mm. Yeah.
That must be like something standard.
Mm.
Always, she can turn it down, but that must be made available to her.
I think she has been
checked. We'll get the other version. That is the version that we will be submitting.
Mm-hmm.
The one that she
has. That's another issue that we can discuss, if you allow me.
On page 5, clause 17, sub clause 3, it talks about some form of legal oversight body to monitor the operations of this court that is required. I don't think it's the same as what I've been saying now. Because what I've been saying now is that if Mantuli goes to that court, I must be allowed to bring my legal representative,
mm-hmm.
like
okay.
my lawyer, or so.
Of choice.
Of choice, yes.
Mm-hmm.
So when we insert that clause, I think we should mention that this legacy of Law 17 doesn't address what you are facing.
The bullet 3 there is not part of Clause 17. That's a separate, it's a separate thing that doesn't form part of it.
All right. Okay. Are we fine? Yeah. I think with those additions, I think we are we adopting. Those who are there in that region. What? Yeah,
there's
no advice.
Discrimination.
I think there's something wrong that we're doing. Can you see how you're looking at it? You want to say something?
Yeah. I wanted to check with all of us here whether did we address that particular issue. You know, I'm from this area, and I was born part of this
the country.
Yes, extended family. Now, there's this discrimination that happens in this court. When a man is charged, that the man is given a chair to sit on. When a woman is charged, is supposed to sit on the ground, wear a blanket. Like, I'm used to it, that's why I always have this on. Wear a blanket, sit down and look down. We have addressed it. But then, what are we saying on discrimination? Are we still going to allow that to happen because they'll say it's tradition? If you say this woman can't be sitting on cement, they say it's tradition. And if you say the woman must bring something to sit on, like a small mat or so on, they'll say there's a special mat that is put. That they differ. You find in some instances it's a circle that is made, and you must sit in the center of the circle. And it's surrounded by this man, and the women that are seated somewhere else, and then. Sometimes, the council settles you. So finally, when you're talking, not knowing what kunani la ngaphansi kwa le khona, I don't know how can we correct that.
Do you understand that?
I think if we talk about the proceeding within the court, if we put something in to say that we want recommendation that in terms of how procedures happen, that you know equal treatment is given to men and women, and that there's no, I mean, I can rephrase it again, but something to that effect, so that there's equal standing and equal treatment given to men and women in the court, similar treatment.
If there's a touch box, everybody must be able to stand there. Something like that, you know. I sometimes get very much worried.
Can we dignify the word? If you allow both of them to sit on the ground, it's not right.
Yes.
So the equal and dignified one.
Yeah. Something like that. And then we can, in fact, I think today we meet with them about the sons and the second. But not all of them have that sex. I can assure you. It differs according to plan. Are we now adopting this? Now you know why it's interesting to come here.
know, we have been fixing this. I don't know. I'm in a meeting now. We have fixed it with the finance manager in, here in Parliament. They are sending the money to every month. And it's only in about say, half an hour. I'm in a meeting. I can't talk to you for that. But we have been attending to this. Okay. Yes, I'm sorry about this. So now, congrats, we are adopting with amendments. Yes. Now, submission on traditional court bill, we have done this. Any other thing? You don't need an iron for tonight.
No.
Okay. Now we are done with this. Now, I think we should affirm what we said yesterday. We should write a letter about the members that have been moved or challenged, but any other business. Members that, consistent members have been attending this committee. Now, who has all of the persons been moved today or challenged? Very concerned, very concerned about them. I think they need to change it. I don't think there's a reason why they need. This letter will be coming from us, whether you will be writing it on my behalf when through the app. Yes. Or if you have to wait for the secretary to fill up, the secretary to fund up.
Yeah, we are
helping
you
to can we say, you got something that you want to report to us? Can we say, now how are we going to know about the arrangement? On our phones? Okay. Have you got all our phones? You know why am I also going there? Because before, if you read this properly, on the 24th, Namhlanje, Kune Nanzika in the gender focal person. I don't know why do they separate us from them, because that's what we want to know about. As soon as NIOSW, the full word. Thank you.
Thank you.